This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 29th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a report from the Environment Report on the rare farming family that's decided to shrink its operation instead of expand. Also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Governor Rob Blagojevich says he remains committed to a statewide construction program. But as Sean Crawford reports, the governor says he won't link that effort to getting a new budget.
While lawmakers try to get a budget and beat a path from Springfield before May 31st, it's looking less likely an infrastructure improvement plan will make it through this week. That's despite support from three of the four legislative leaders and the governor. Only Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan appears to be inclined to delay, and he has the ability to block action. Governor Blagojevich says he's holding out hope a deal can come together this week.
I believe everything can get done by Saturday. We should get everything done by Saturday.
Blagojevich says he won't demand construction projects be approved at the same time a state budget is passed. He refused to say what steps he might take in the future. Blagojevich has authority to call special sessions of the legislature, meaning he could try to keep lawmakers at the Capitol well into the summer. Illinois' last construction program came during the George Ryan administration. Supporters say there's a huge need to repair roads, bridges, and schools. Among House Democrats' concerns, however, is how to pay for the projects and a lack of trust in Blagojevich managing the program. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines wants state lawmakers to do more to address higher education before agreeing to a budget and heading home. Yesterday, Hines updated University of Illinois administrators on budget talks, saying plans currently under consideration would not address 5 years of declining support for colleges and universities. Hines says higher tuition rates and other problems with the economy are making Illinois settle when it comes to higher education, and it's driving away potential students.
The University of Illinois excels, and we should be very proud of this institution. But when the state of Illinois, as a government, isn't paying its share and providing what it needs to allow that to happen, then I think we're making an unfortunate choice.
Hines says he'd rather see state lawmakers go into overtime and pass a responsible budget plan than simply pass something in order to adjourn by week's end. He says it will require a new phase of budget negotiations to address higher education for not just the next fiscal year, but beyond. Last week, U of I trustees passed a spending plan of more than $4 billion. But university spokesman Tom Hardy says without additional state support, the plan may require some cuts. That budget includes a nearly 10% increase in tuition for new students. Administrators for Chicago Public Schools say lawmakers need to put aside their differences and prioritize public education. Jenna Dooley has that story.
School officials canceled their monthly board meeting to lobby instead in Springfield. Chicago Public Schools CEO Arnie Duncan says he doesn't care how the state pays for increases, but says the budget proposals so far for the district range from flat funding to a $40 million increase. But Duncan says even that amount is too little. He says it would force administrators to make tough decisions.
School starts in the fall, and we need to know, do we have school on Saturday or do we not? Do we raise class size or do we not? What do we do around capital?
Duncan says Chicago schools need more money for salary increases, pension obligations, and after-school programs. I'm Jenna Dooley.
The jury at political fundraiser Tony Rezko's fraud trial was forced to ask the judge for a fresh verdict form, saying they had spilled coffee on the old one. District Judge Amy St. Eve agreed to send in a fresh verdict form after calling in attorneys for Rezko and prosecutors. She also sent a note to the federal jury telling them to keep the old coffee-stained verdict form with them until the deliberations are over. The jurors had promised that they'd stay late today to speed up their deliberations. Rezko's charged with using his political clout with the Blagojevich administration to get a $1.5 million bribe from a contractor and pressure kickbacks out of money management firms. He's pleaded not guilty. A finalist for the job of head administrator in the city of Urbana is in town this week. AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
Mayor Laurel Prussing says while other candidates for the head administrator's post have been interviewed, this one is the finalist. The candidate met with city council members last night in a closed-door session and is scheduled to meet with city staff members today. Urbana has been without a head administrator for the past year, ever since Mayor Prussing placed Chief Administrative Officer Bruce Walden on paid leave and then did not reappoint him. Since then, Prussing has talked about changing duties for the position and giving it a new title, such as Chief of Staff or Deputy Mayor. Prussing would not give details about the visiting finalist, who was chosen from several applicants, but she says it could be days or weeks before a decision is made on hiring the candidate while a background check is conducted. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Illinois Disciples Foundation building on the U of I campus will soon become a site for retail locations and office space. The foundation has sold its facility at Springfield and Wright to JSM Development. It's expected to assume ownership July 1st. IDF's Executive Director Jen Tyabji says upkeep of that large building got in the way of other duties.
It had come to the point where financially and time-wise, we just, you know, couldn't maintain our mission and keep up the building. So hopefully with the sale, we will be able to devote all of our time to our mission and not be distracted.
Financial terms of the sale weren't disclosed. The Disciples Foundation will move to the third floor of a building in downtown Champaign. Tyabji says that location will serve as a temporary home, while the IDF, which calls itself a pioneering campus ministry, assesses its future plans. The director of development for JSM, Jill Guth, says they plan to start marketing the former Disciples Foundation building to potential tenants right away. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In many areas of the country, small farms are now the exception instead of the norm. Farming, especially with livestock, can mean thousands and thousands of animals and often distant corporate ownership. Even the smallest farms are pressured to get bigger. So when a family decides to make their farm smaller, well, they're rebels. Kenna Oman of the Environment Report has our story.
It's 5 o'clock in the evening on the Hills Dairy Farm. Ray Hill just finished cleaning out the milking equipment and is moving into the barn. Cows look around curiously, and afternoon light streams through the windows. Hill moves comfortably among these cows, calling each of them by name and cleans their udders for milking.
Each cow gets at least one clean claw.
Ray Hill and his wife Stephanie are full-time farmers. They milk 10 cows twice a day. They sell raw milk and yogurt directly from their farm. But getting to this point hasn't been easy. To survive, they've had to step away from the conventional approach to dairy farming. When the Hills got into farming 8 years ago, they listened to the advice of farm experts. They had more than 40 cows, a tractor, and were selling their farm's milk to the regional processors. But within a couple of years, they were deep in debt. Hill says the experts told him to get more cows. He says he couldn't see how that would help.
Financially, it just didn't work. There wasn't money to hire help. You know, I had a couple of kids and the wife, and we were all running ragged. And it wasn't fun. And there were many days I threatened to sell every cow in the barn.
It's common for farm experts and even bankers to push family farmers like the Hills to get big or get out. Daryl Emmicks with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. He says he's seen regions lose more than 50% of their dairy farms when using this conventional standard.
Getting bigger or get out really didn't help a lot of the farms. They got bigger and they still went out of business.
For a farm to get bigger, farmers can find hundreds or even thousands of dairy cows inside large barns. That means farmers spend a lot of money and time bringing food to their animals and hauling manure away. Daryl Emmick says that model of agriculture started in the 1940s when fuel was pretty cheap. But these days, it makes good economic sense for farmers to go back to letting their milk cows out of the big barns to eat grass.
Nothing can harvest a ton of feed any cheaper than the cow or the sheep or the horse can by itself. Bringing food to animals is something I think we're going to see less and less of, especially here and now with fuel prices going over $4 a gallon.
The Hills have made that switch on their farm. Ray Hill says his cows are healthier. He believes the milk is better quality, too. And he's excited about providing healthy food for his community. Rahill says he wants their farm to be a place where people come to buy quality food and definitely let him know if they have concerns.
I want to have control over how I take care of my animals. I want to have control over how I process or don't process my milk. I want to have control over the price, the quality. If there's a quality issue, you know, it's up to me to take care of it, not say, oh, let me call so-and-so. I don't think you could find anyone that would tell you I would rather talk to a corporate person as opposed to the person that produced my food.
But bucking against the system is not easy. There are days when no one comes to the Hills farm to buy their milk or yogurt. The Hills know they're taking a risk, but they feel at least they're not at the mercy of the industry, the banks, and the whims of the market. And for now, that's worth it. For the Environment Report, I'm Kinna Oman.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
We see rain moving back into parts of the two-state area. Well, actually, the entire two-state area at some point in the next 48 hours or so. Our meteorologist, Ed Kieser, says for today in northern Illinois, it'll become partly sunny with a chance of a few scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Elsewhere, though, partly to mostly sunny and still no rain. A high is from 65 along the Chicago lakefront to 83 in far southern Illinois. For tonight, in northern Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows ranging from 52 in northeast Indiana to 65 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy with clusters of showers and thunderstorms. In central sections, partly sunny with thunderstorms arriving. And in the south, still mostly sunny and warm with highs tomorrow ranging from 76 in northwest Illinois to around 90 in the far south. 78 today with sunshine in Champaign-Urbana. A chance of thunderstorms tomorrow and 85 degrees. And then for Saturday, intervals of clouds and sun with a chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm and a high of 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.